WVW Broadcast Network is pleased to present the Ivan Raiklin Report with retired Lieutenant Colonel of the Green Beret, Ivan Raiklin. Ivan served 25 years in the Department of Defense, Intel, and Special Operations communities as an enlisted officer, civilian contractor on active duty, reserves, and National Guard across 5 states. Most recently, he was an instructor at the Joint Military Intelligence Training Center, teaching the U.S. intelligence intel community and international partners about intelligence analysis, national security, and multinational operations. He is currently a constitutional attorney. And now, here is your host, Ivan Raiklin.
All right. Hello, everybody. Ivan Raiklin here today, once again, with the Raiklin Report. All right, a lot of news. Every day there's a lot of news going on. And actually, it's not that we're reporting on news. We're making news here on the Raiklin Report. And today, I want to talk about a few things. Let me give you the outline. First things first, it's Friday, which means it's the last show of the week. And what I like to do on Fridays is 2 things. One, I like to do a little recap of what we were able to accomplish this past week and what occurred. I'm an optimistic guy, so I want to showcase what we were able to accomplish this week and then highlight a few key things that occurred that we can improve on for the following week, which leads to the second category of information that I'm going to cover during Friday's broadcast today, which is what should we expect next week? Guess what? If you've seen the theme of the last few days, it's probably going to be similar next week because guess what? The House is in session all week, Monday through Thursday. We're going to give a little bit of details on that. Next up, I wanted to talk about Category 3 today. What happened today specifically? And that was I actually had the opportunity to make my debut and visit one of the political prisoners in the D.C. gulag. Now that Troy Nehls, Congressman Nehls, opened up the doorway for everybody to now go and visit after almost 2 years of not being able to do virtual visitation nor in-person visitation, these political prisoners can now receive visitors to communicate with them for an hour. And it's only on Fridays at 1 p.m. right now, but we'll see how things play out in the future. So FYI. And I think probably that's going to be all the time we're going to have during this episode is to cover those 3 things, because guess what? There's a lot of stuff to cover. So let's start off with last week, or I should say this week, from Monday through Friday. What were we able to participate and accomplish, and what do we need to highlight to be able to get to next week? So let's start off with a couple of things. Number one, we had the opportunity, me, Ashley Babbitt's mom, other folks within that J6 community were able to actually go into the Capitol, particularly the office buildings of Rayburn, Longworth, and Cannon, the 3 main office buildings in the House side of Congress. And also in actually the Congress, I was able to go, in the Capitol. So what did we do there? Communicated with members of Real Team 6. Who did we have an opportunity to bump into? Matt Rosendale, Matt Gaetz, Congressman Good, Lauren Boebert, who else? Eli Crane. So I think that's all the Real Teams. Oh, what did I say? Andy Biggs. I always have to do it in alphabetical pretty much. Andy Biggs, because remember the first week of Congress this term, all the Real Team 6 members went in alphabetical order, and those were the numbers we were closely keeping an eye on to make sure that 5 of them at a minimum were going to block Kevin McCarthy until he gave up his our rules package that we demanded. So number one, Andy Biggs. 2, Lauren Boebert. Then Congressman Matt Gaetz, Bob Good, Matt Rosendale, and Eli Crane. A little bit out of alphabetical order, but anyway, I got them all. Those 6. So yeah, we had a conversation. Who else? It appears as though we meaning Ashley Babbitt's mom, was able to communicate with some other members of Congress. I also kind of went to and communicated with some folks such as the new chair of the House Administration Committee, which is going to be the new That's going to be the committee that eventually, once we ensure Kevin McCarthy releases and approves of the 14,000 hours of tape to be released and approved for release, then the House Administration Committee is going to take over custody to then start going through all that information. But they don't need to go through it all themselves, because we have a lot of subject matter experts that have been doing so over the last 2 years. And we're going to be helping, working with, and communicating with the House Administration Committee to include some folks that have been appointed as subcommittee chairs. I don't think I have it up here right now, but if we go to the Twitter account and follow along with me, I'll put it up here with my phone. If we go to Brian Style, and it's spelled B-R-Y-A-N, last name is S-T-E-I-L, Rep. Brian Style. And we go to his Twitter account, and we scroll down to yesterday, and it appears as though he has appointed subcommittee members. Actually, it's not on his website, or excuse me, his Twitter account. It's on the House Administration Committee's Twitter account, which is House Admin is the Twitter handle. And it says here that he has appointed some members. Scroll down in that pinned tweet. You can see that welcome Rep. Loudermilk from Georgia's 11, representing the 11th District of Georgia. He's going to be chairing a subcommittee. And then you have other folks. Bottom line is, Congressman Barry Loudermilk from Georgia is the representative for murdered, slain victim of January 6th, Roseanne Boyland. So that's pretty interesting. The other interesting thing is, not only is he, or was he, the representative for slain Roseanne Boylan of his district, but guess what Nancy Pelosi accused him of? She accused, because he was giving tours before January 6th to some of his constituents throughout the Capitol, Nancy Pelosi accused him of doing recons for January 6th to deflect and divert what she was doing in the run-up to January 6th. The reason why she said that is because she was afraid that potentially those people that were in the Capitol prior to January 6th that Barry Loudermilk was giving tours for, maybe they saw or overheard some of her shenanigans and planning for that coup that she conducted on January 6th. Anyway, what I'm getting at here, bottom line, those two things should be the motivating, the two additional motivating reasons why Congressman Barry Loudermilk must get immediately to the bottom of who was involved in January 6th and then creating massive consequences for it. The beauty of this committee, and particularly this subcommittee within the House Admin Committee, House Administration Committee, is the committee that provides oversight over the House Sergeant at Arms, whom they will need to bring in to testify, the previous Sergeant at Arms and the current one, to get to the bottom of whether or not my hypothesis showing that Nancy, her Sergeant at Arms, her daughter, her son-in-law, Ray Epps, John Sullivan, were in fact those individuals that were the leading coup plotters slash seditious conspirators that facilitated the unlawful entry slash mousetrap into the Capitol to then blame on all those that didn't participate in their coup. Okay. So yeah, had a chance to talk briefly with Brian Style. And let's just say we're going to be engaging with this Barry Loudermilk starting on Monday. Okay, what else? Had a couple of hearings. There was the Judiciary Organizational Meeting. There was the Oversight and Investigations Committee hearing for the organization of that committee. So basically, this week was the foundational week where things kind of got organized. Now we're at a point where every chair of the committee has been appointed. Every subcommittee chair has been appointed. Every member of the committees and every member of the subcommittees has now been determined. And so what does that mean, folks? That means Kevin McCarthy is no longer relevant. Why? Because all the people that he made promises to that they were going to be in particular positions on particular committees and they would be chairing certain committees. Well, guess what? They're now in those positions. Now Kevin McCarthy has no more leverage. And so now we need to go ahead and I think the term would be neuter. Some people call it castrate. And I mean that peacefully, patriotically, but politically. So what does that mean? Why, you ask, and I shall answer. The question is, why should we do that to poor little Kevin McCarthy? Well, guess what happened this week that made him deserve a motion to vacate the chair, removal out of the speaker's gavel for then further consequences to ignore? Well, for those that missed it yesterday, my broadcast specifically focused on that. And that was that I got to be careful in the adjectives that I use to describe the beloved Kevin McCarthy. When asked by a member of the legacy, low IQ media, fortunately, they asked actually a pretty decent question. And that question was, yesterday, Lauren Boebert said that Ashley Babbitt was murdered by Capitol Police. Officer Michael Byrd, the same dude that just negligently leaves his service weapon laying around just nonchalantly in public restroom spaces where kids and tourists can come in and out of, total negligent behavior in the past, and then at a minimum negligently discharged his service weapon against an unarmed, peaceful election integrity rally attendee exercising her First Amendment and trying to get away from a precarious situation in that speaker's lobby area when Capitol Police officers that were right next to her were not willing to do anything to make sure that it was safe and secure in that vestibule area. All the while, this dude, Alam, is taking his helmet and bashing the doorway, the windows. And then when nothing was being done by the Capitol Police officers that Ashley Babbitt was standing by, as a former military police officer within the Air Force, she took to action and wanted to calm these people down that were next to her. And what did she do? She tells the guy to stop beating and destroying property over next to her, Alam. And then when he refused to do that and continues to destroy property, she, as a lefty southpaw, goes ahead and swings at him to let him know that she's being serious. Stop destroying our Capitol. And what does she get in return? No response or support from the Capitol Police to stop this guy from being belligerent, this guy Alam. And then she tries to exit the area through the window. Michael Byrd brutally murders her through that gunshot. What does Kevin McCarthy say? Kevin McCarthy, when asked, well, Marjorie Taylor Greene said that Officer Byrd murdered Ashley Babbitt. Do you agree with her, or do you think he was just doing his job? And Kevin McCarthy responds with, he was just doing his job. Hey, Kevin, was John Wilkes Booth just doing his job when he assassinated President Abraham Lincoln? Was Sirhan Sirhan doing his job when he murdered and assassinated Robert F. Kennedy? Let me go through a few more individuals that you would probably say were doing their job. Let me take a look here. I want to make sure I'm not missing anyone. Okay. Was Lee Harvey Oswald just doing his job when he assassinated John F. Kennedy? Was James Earl Ray just doing his job when he assassinated Martin Luther King Jr.? And the list goes on and on. So how about you tell Ashley Babbitt's mom, Mickey, to her face that Lieutenant Michael Byrd, when he pulled out his service weapon and aimed and fired at an unarmed, peaceful, small stature Air Force veteran woman with a backpack on and in a position not expressing and exposing any aggressive nature towards that police officer, Michael Byrd. She was off balance in that window. What does he do? He doesn't yell out any commands. He doesn't detain Ashley Babbitt or do anything that's non-lethal. He immediately just goes for a service weapon, aims it, and then pulls the trigger, intentionally murdering Ashley Babbitt. Again, unarmed, peaceful, First Amendment, election integrity, election justice, rally attendee. And that's your Kevin McCarthy. That is the Kevin McCarthy that's number three in line to the president, actually, and two in line in the presidency. As I said before in my Substack series, all 13 showcase the counterintelligence vulnerabilities that this guy, Kevin McCarthy, has. Okay? If you missed it, you want to review it, you want to take a look, please go ivanraiklin.substack.com. I even haven't, after I finished those 13, the 13 series, I have an overview. Bottom line, as it applies to January 6th, this guy, Kevin McCarthy, is wholly compromised now that he's made that statement. Had he not made that statement and he said, well, that's something that we're going to need to look into, because the previous House under Nancy Pelosi, they just kind of brushed that under the rug. That would have been, I think, a more moderated response, where you could have said, okay, this guy is impartial. He wants to go ahead and do due diligence and justice to what occurred on January 6th. But when he completely brushes under the rug and says, oh no, this dude, Michael Byrd, I'm not going to say he just completely violated all norms and principles and murdered a unarmed U.S. citizen. What does he do? Oh, he's just doing his job. Basically, that translation is, you know what? Kevin McCarthy authorizes federal use of force in order to conduct extrajudicial killings. So let's take a look at the U.S. Constitution, Kevin. Oh, let's refer back to a couple things. Life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness are fundamental rights that are enshrined in our Constitution, right? Yes, that's true. They are. And Kevin, life is the first one. You are now telling the entire American people that you could care less about human life, just like Anthony Fauci, just like Mike Pence when he headed up that COVID, it's actually called the CCP-19 task force, and murdered 1 million Americans through their policies. Okay? So you, Kevin McCarthy, are going to face consequences for your statement. Massively. Expect them immediately. Monday, it's going to come at you pretty quickly. And unless you make some statements, backtracking, I haven't really looked at what's been going on today. Unless you make some statements to correct and then go ahead and get to the bottom of January 6th on making sure there are consequences for Michael Byrd, for DC Metro Police Officer Lila Morris, for the U.S. Capitol Police officers that went beyond their authority and scope, that didn't do their job, and instead completely bludgeoned, not only did they murder folks, but they threw grenades, just violating all protocol, all policies that resulted in two more deaths at the hands of a grenade being exploded. Kevin Greeson, Benjamin Phillips, Roseanne Boylan, and Ashley Babbitt were the four victims of the targeted extrajudicial murders of federal officers, U.S. Capitol Police and D.C. Metro. I think the other thing I want to say is that President Trump called Kevin McCarthy out. I'm actually glad, because the last few days I've been calling out President Trump, particularly his staff, for telling him that, oh, there was only one person murdered on January 6th. Well, guess what? President Trump's staff, this is to you. You are an absolute embarrassment, whoever that was that said that and told him that, oh, it was only Ashley Babbitt. 2 years now. Where have you been? 2 years. You deserve to be gone. Fired. Incompetence, negligence, belligerent subversion of the truth. That's what you should be prosecuted for. All right. I'm looking at my phone here to make sure that we're getting the highlights here, and we're already at 22 minutes within the show. I think Brandon House may be right that I might need to go a full hour, but for now, let's just keep it at 30 minutes. I kind of like it. Got to keep it nice and tight. So that was the weekend review. We want to talk about real quickly the DC Gulag, and then we'll go into what's going to be happening next week, because there's going to be a lot of things happening next week. And I'm going to need your guys' participation and involvement, particularly for next week. Okay, today, had the opportunity to make my debut. It's been, I think, 3 or 4 weeks since folks have been able to actually visit the political prisoners in the D.C. Gulag. I had the opportunity with Mickey, which is Ashley Babbitt's mom, to go in there and visit with one of those individuals, a gentleman by the name of McCullough. And he is actually a former Green Beret from 3rd Special Forces Group, served 22 years, retired. And as we only had an hour, so as I was in there, he was just, I'm just here to listen. I'm just here to hear anything that you think I need to understand and hear to be able to then chew on so that we can get quicker to the truth of January 6th. Couple highlights I wanted to hit. Number one. Everything he said, and with the speed and demeanor in which he said it, it all checked out. I just sat there, listened, checked on a couple things. This guy, from what he told me, checks out. A couple things he told me to focus in on. Number one, camera 0180. He said, if you can get access to the tapes, I want you to look at camera 0180, and there was another one. Can't recall the number right now because you couldn't take in notes or to put in anything, pen to paper. So this is solely on memory, but I did remember one of them, 0180. Camera angle 0180, he discusses, has footage of what he calls a lot of crisis actors, those with different colored tape, essentially particular uniforms and how they acted. Bottom line, he is fully convinced that this was a deliberate planned operation. He thinks it was marshals, Article 3 branch of government law enforcement, the federal marshals. But I'm not so convinced that is the case. But I'll have to take a look at it and see what he's referring to. But again, if whoever has access to the tapes that's listening in, take a look at camera 0180 and look through there, because it appears as though there's enough evidence in there to showcase that there were federal actors or some sort of planned operation based on the individuals that were present that created that event in order for the breach to happen. And then the coordination communication from somebody from within that was kind of coordinating it to open doors, et cetera. I haven't really been focusing in on the east side of the Capitol. I've been focused more on just totality, strategically, how the legal frame could allow for something that to happen, who would have been the ones, the decision makers to allow that to happen. And then also been looking more at a lot of the footage on the west side of the Capitol, because it appears as though there was a lot more footage from that side of the Capitol. All right, so with 5 minutes remaining, Next week is going to be big, folks. Massive. If you're not in D.C. next week, I recommend you come to D.C. next week if you can. And why is that? There's some big hearings coming. I'll tell you why. Congress is in session from Monday through Thursday. Okay? So if you want to find out what's going on in the House, two websites that I recommend, house.gov, and get yourself acquainted with it. Get familiar, get acquainted, see what's going on, right? You can see the calendar. You can go in here, watch House proceedings, you know, bills and reports, recent votes, find your rep, you know, 118. There's a lot of stuff in here, right? So you can look at the calendar where it says legislative activity. And Monday they start off, you know, it's not as hot and heavy as the later days, but, you know, you have a committee on ways and means, okay, rules committee, they're going to have a meeting. But then on Tuesday we have, well, let's take a look. Committee on Oversight and Accountability, Front Lines of Border Crisis. Keep in mind that all these hearings are going to help justify and explain and expose to the American public how Acting Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas needs to be impeached. And Andy Biggs, Congressman Biggs from Arizona, has already submitted articles of impeachment yesterday. Just getting started. Now, Wednesday, let's take a look here. Committee on Oversight and Accountability, 10 a.m., Protecting Speech from Government Interference and Social Media Bias, Part 1, Twitter's Role in Suppressing the Biden Laptop Story. Oh, wait, who's going to be testifying during that hearing? And it's going to be, again, February 8th, 10 a.m., 2154 Rayburn. Listen in, folks. The former chief legal officer of Twitter, Vijaya Gadde, is going to be testifying. I think it'll be very interesting when I ask her a few questions and what she's going to say in response. Keep an eye out and stay tuned. Number two, James Baker, former deputy general counsel of Twitter. Remember, the same James Baker, and we're running out of time, the same James Baker that was the general counsel at FBI that authorized and launched the Crossfire Hurricane spying on Donald Trump, on Carter Page, George Papadopoulos, General Flynn, Paul Manafort, all those people. Oh, is it going to be fun, folks? And then Yoel Roth, former global head of trust and safety at Twitter. So that day is going to be a focus on particularly that. And this will be the Oversight and Accountability Committee. Next, on Thursday, and we'll close with this. Okay. I think it was on Thursday. Somebody just sent me this subcommittee hearing. I'm not sure if it's public, but remember that weaponization of the government subcommittee, of which is subordinate to the Judiciary Committee, of which Jim Jordan chairs, and Tom Massey, and many other folks, Dan Bishop, Congresswoman from Wyoming, who replaced Lizzie Cheney, is going to be on, and several others who I've been interacting with. Guess what? Whether it's Chip Roy, they're going to be having their first subcommittee hearing. And guess what? The body checking begins. Stay tuned. We're running out of time. Follow my Substack, ivanraiklin.substack.com. You can also book me for a show if you want me to speak in detail about anything at raiklin.com, and follow me on Telegram. Those are the three places you can reach out to me. With that, have a good weekend. Signing off with the Raiklin Report. Till Monday. See you.